Good morning and welcome. As Neil has introduced me, my name is Pastor Mike Fiore, and I can't tell you what an honor it is to be here today. Are you guys excited in the presence of God this morning? Hallelujah. You know, I'm not going to lie. We were hustling and rushing. We stayed at St. Catherine's last night. We have our two children with us. And if you guys have ever traveled with children, you know it is a, we'll say, fun experience, right? It's a fun experience. And I'm thinking, okay, we can't be late. We got to be there. Make sure we look great. Well, we were late. We spilled coffee and everyone was yelling the whole way here. But we're here. Amen? Amen. So again, just an honor to be here with you. I'm so happy to be a part of the WDCX family. I'm privileged to share a word with you today. I've preached at a lot of places, but this is the most beautiful venue I've ever preached at. And I share this message with you today, given to me from God, so it's a privilege today. Let's go before the Lord today. Lord, we thank you for your magnificent beauty in this world you made for us. God, thank you for the senses to encounter and experience your creation so that we might know your awesome wonder, presence, and power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit here today. And thank you for the people on this beach. God, may we fall more in love with you and may we hear from you totally different today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. I like how you guys are interactive. I'm an Assemblies of God minister, and even though we have order in our services, we love to hear from the congregation. So I know the waves and wind are loud, but do you think you can be louder today? Amen. All right. I want them to hear them on Niagara on the Lake and regret not coming today. So as Neil said, I am the Family Life Pastor at The Bridge in Niagara Falls, New York. We also own the Village Bake Shop in Lewiston. And yes, we do make butter tarts, for those of you who are wondering. We also have two incredible children here with us today, Dina and Mike. Life is full and life is good, all thanks to our Heavenly Father. Also, something you may not know about me is that I have a thinning retina in my right eye. What a great first impression, eh? A few years ago, I had a few preventative surgeries done to keep the problem from getting worse. Now, every year, I go see a specialist to ensure that the surgery is still effective and that my retinas aren't detaching. Just this past Friday, I had to go in for my yearly checkup, and praise God, all is well for another year. Now, after a few reschedules of this yearly appointment, which is usually in March, now pushed to August, I was getting very nervous. This is one of those medical appointments I certainly don't want to miss. A physical, meh. Blood work, I'm sure I'll be fine. But when it comes to my eyes, I'm always on high alert. I especially didn't want it to interfere with today. So if you've had a conversation with me in the last 8 months, you would know my whole 2025 revolved around this day to be here with you at church on the beach. And isn't God good? God is good. I am so grateful to be here with you. I might tell you 100 more times today. So here's how the appointment usually goes, right? It's a 20-minute process. Contacts come out. They dilate my eyes. And if you've ever had that done before, it provides a major challenge for functioning properly for the rest of the day. The room is blurry. They shine this bright light, quite possibly the brightest light on the planet, through my eyes to what feels like the back of my brain, all while keeping my eyes stretched open. In the silent anguish, I'm waiting to get the okay from the doctor. It's a tad tense in my mind, but I understand it's necessary. And it's a great way, though, to spend a Friday afternoon. When we're all done, the nerves stabilize and a sense of relief comes over, but now I'm essentially useless for the rest of the day. I can't see more than a few inches in front of me. It's impossible to focus, and any hint of light causes a headache that takes hours to go away. I have to be guided to the receptionist from the chair, then have someone walk me back to the car, drive me home, escort me in the house, and hopefully I can get to a cold, dark room and wait for the effects to wear off. In those hours, you can't do much of anything except pray and reflect. Things still need to get done, but it doesn't matter. I'm out of commission, and there's nothing I can do about it. What's hard for me is I have to rely on other people to get me around. I can't see, I can't help, I can't do. So I have to trust and lean on someone to guide me. I have to listen carefully to their instructions and come to terms with the fact that I am limited. I must trust that who is guiding me knows what they're doing and that they have my best interest in mind. It's the same concept with our walk with Jesus. Now, as we look at John chapter 9 from the perspective of the man that was born blind, we're going to see how through relying on Jesus, his faith made it possible to change his story and to show the world that God will bring you victory through every conflict. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 9 today, and we have a lot of Bible to go through today, but I don't think you brave the rain just for a couple Bible verses. Amen? Who here is ready for the whole counsel of God this morning? Are you guys hungry for the word today? Amen. And the Holy Spirit's going to feed us. So John chapter 9, verse 1 says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" So almost like an art exhibit, this man is the subject of constant observation, criticism, insults, and judgments. His days are filled with hunger, fear, and what could happen next, loneliness, worthlessness, and feeling abandoned by God. He can't work or contribute to society. His only source of hope is hearing the denarius coins being dropped in his beggar's cup as people pass by with their pity. Their question reminds us of when we read in the book of Job, while during his suffering, that those who came to support him failed to offer any real hope or proper guidance. Instead, they made things worse by talking from their puffed up perspective and creating more pain and confusion than what was necessary. My friends, every voice you hear in your life will affect you one way or another. What's being spoken to you can either build you or break you. Be careful what you let in and be aware of what's trying to come in. We'll get to that a little bit later. And on the flip side, make sure your voice is the one that brings light to any and every conversation that you're in. If your lips have been cleansed, I want you to give the enemy a reason to fear you when you open your mouth. Amen? How many of you guys know that there's power in the words you speak? That God has made you new so that you can change the atmosphere and change the situation because the Holy Spirit speaks through you. Amen? Amen. Now, what Jesus saw here was different than what everyone else saw. Through his lens of unwavering compassion and mercy, he goes to show his disciples and us that every person matters. Regardless of where they are or who they are, everyone is welcome to have a life-altering interaction with their Savior. There is room in the kingdom for everyone. Amen? James chapter 2 records for us the sin of having partiality with people and how God calls us to live holy and intentional. Lord, give us the vision that you have so we can see others the way you see them. Blind from birth, and we can all relate to this, as before our encounter with Jesus, we were blind. Like this man, before Jesus came to us, we were the beggars. But praise be to our God that after accepting the gift of salvation, now we're royalty. Is this beach filled with royalty this morning? Do you know that you're royalty? You used to be the beggar, now you're the royalty. Verse 3, Jesus answered, "It was not this man who sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Wow. The words this blind man hears are not like anything he's ever heard before. For the first time ever, there's no condemnation or inquisition mentioned when someone notices his disability. As the atmosphere changes, it's evident God is setting the stage for something big. Like a sledgehammer smashing through countless layers of steel, the voice of Jesus confronts all human thought and assumption. And now it's his words that bring life and hope to all people, including the least likely. His words initiate this man's redemption. While everyone else walked by and looked the other way, it was Jesus who said, "That man." It's that man who's going to tell the world why I came. He will be a witness of my voice and the demonstration of my power. It is this man who will be the proof of my purpose and my coming to the world to seek and save the lost. Through him, many will believe and God will be glorified. Verse 6, having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and he said, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So after he speaks, Jesus gets to work. Now, we don't serve a God that just tells us he loves us. No, we serve a God who shows us and proves to us every day his goodness and love. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What did Christ do for you, church? He died for you. On your worst days, remember, Christ died for you. When you hear that you're nothing, remember, Christ died for you. Christ died for you because he loves you, and he went to the cross to show us. Amen? The blood of Jesus is verification of his love. The empty grave is our assurance of our newness of life in him. And here we see he's not concerned with practicality or ceremony. He takes his saliva and spits in the dust to perform the impossible. Now, before this, no one has ever opened the eyes of the blind. And this is a new thing that Jesus is doing. Now, this was not the only time he chose this style. We see it in Luke and Mark that he uses his saliva to heal the deaf and restore the blind. Now, regardless of the methods or instructions of the Lord in our lives, we know by his track record that his way is always better than ours. With that said, if someone needs your help, please don't spit or throw mud in their face and yell, "You're healed." Quick details to mention, though, without saliva, speaking is almost impossible. You might be able to make noises, but you can't speak clearly without it. Even the saliva of God has the power to change lives. Amen? Now, our first point today is God's voice always deserves a response. We need not worry about the process. Rather, we need to be more concerned with the posture of our hearts. Does our faith look to him, or is it on everything else? Do we believe that God is still a miracle-working God? Even when we don't see it, do we believe that he is still working? Now, as onlookers are perplexed, he directly speaks to the man and says, "If you believe in me, you will see." He gives him a command. He tells the man who is still blind, "Now go from here with mud on your face and go down to the pool and wash." This man has a choice. He can either listen to his words and obey, or just hear them and stay. In this moment, healing is within his grasp. Just him and Jesus. And yes, it's a tad confusing. Yes, he has to walk around with mud on his face. Yes, he has to rely on a voice of a man that he just met. Well, kind of. But how was this man supposed to get to the pool if he was blind and had mud on his face? What if after a few steps he thought, "Maybe I should just stay. I don't know if I really believe this. What if I get lost along the way? You know what? It's probably best I just keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully something better will come along." But what I love about the second part of verse 8 is this. So he went and washed and came back seeing. He heard the voice of God. He responded with obedience. And the word says he came back seeing. He was healed. God has been calling for his people since the beginning. Even in our lowest places, God reaches out his hand of mercy and gladly rescues and receives those who surrender to his voice. We know this because just 700 years before all this went down, the prophet Isaiah wrote the great invitation in Isaiah 55, and a shortened version says, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor for what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live." Verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Amen? Some of your stories sound like that? Did some of you hear that voice from God and reach back for his hand, and he healed you and made you new? Amen. Can you give God a shout of praise for that today? I know it's windy, I know it's noisy, but let's worship God with our clap today. I love this story because he was pursued by God. He was touched by God. He responded to God and was healed by God, and he would be forgiven by God. This man didn't let his circumstances create barriers to his breakthrough. All his life, he had heard all the other voices, but this one was different. With a word from God and the desperation for a new life, this man took the voice of heaven and walked through the impossible. He didn't know his face or name, but he knew that God had a better plan for him. Amen? He may have been blind, but God was guiding his steps. He didn't know what was in front of him, but he wasn't worried about it. He didn't have anyone else to rely on, but he believed in the one who gave the instructions, and he trusted that he would get him there. The blind man was desperate, his need was great, and the only one that could satisfy was God. Church, do we have this same position? Are we desperate to hear from him? Are we bringing him all of our needs? Have we forgotten that he is still speaking? Or have we been deceived to think that he won't? We know God is speaking today, amen? Is he waiting on your response? Do you remember the last time that God spoke to you? You know that God still speaks to us. If you guys want to hear my testimony, well, you don't have a choice because I have the microphone. 7 years ago on Friday, God spoke to me in my living room. He came in and wrecked my whole situation. I was at the lowest point in my life. A kid who had grown up in church, who literally had everything this world could offer, but I was dead in my sins and far from God. And for years, I would hear the voice of God in my head, and he would say, "Are you ready to come back? Are you ready to do life my way?" And guess what, church? I had the audacity to tell the creator of the universe, "Ready? No thanks. I'm not ready yet. I still have things to do." If you've never seen a miracle before, I want you to look clearly today, because I am a living miracle, and I am proof of the mercy and grace of God. Even after the first time when God nudged me and God called to me, I said no. I didn't deserve another breath after that. But through the years of rebellion and living like a fool, I was that prodigal in the pig pen. But on August 15th, 2018, as I was in my living room at the lowest point where I was facing jail time, fines, and a life full of misery, it was God who said, "Are you ready to come back to me?" And in that moment, the presence of the Holy Spirit was in my house, and God stretched out his hand to me, and I said, "Yes, God, I'm sorry. Here I am today." God is good. A year after that, we were actually on this beach here in Crystal Beach in 2019. Now I'm on fire for the Lord. I love reading my Bible. I love annoying people talking about Jesus. Things are good. And I'm sitting on this beach, and I was going through a time where I was a year sober, and I was in Canada, and I go, "You know, I'm on vacation. There's a lot of temptation here." And I remember just sitting in the sand. My wife and daughter were in the cottage, and I'm just talking to God. And I said, "God, I don't hear you. I don't see you. I don't even feel you." And I know we don't go by feelings, but we know that God puts his impression on us, so we know he's there. And I'm sitting on the sand. I'm walking back in the water. I put my butt back in the sand, and I just hold up this thing of sand in my hand. And you want to know something? God spoke to me that day. And I said, "God, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you've been." And then he said, "I know how many grains of sand are on this beach. Like I know how many people are in this world, and I know where everything is." His timing is always perfect and gives us exactly what we needed. It was in that moment I said, "God, I will never doubt your voice again." Now in verse 8, the neighbors who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, it's not." But the man kept saying, "Yes, it's me." So they said, "How did you do this? What happened?" The man replied, "Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash,' and I went." And they said, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." Guys, our second point today is God's voice will bring a change in your life. When Jesus touches your life, you're going to look different to everyone around you. With exception of this case, the outside might not change, but the real transformation happens on the inside. You will sound different, you will act different, and you will think different. I'm reminded of a song by the Gaither Vocal Band that goes like this. "Shackled by a heavy burden, nigh the load of guilt or shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Galatia, he writes in 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In his testimony, the former blind man gave it all. He said, this is what happened. I was healed. It's no longer who I was. I owe it all to Jesus. Now go ask him if he can fix you too. Your witness can have the greatest impact by not how much scripture you can recite or how much theology you know, but just simply telling what Jesus has done for you. Remember, we don't convert everyone, but we're here to make his name famous by trusting and loving. From death to life, the blind seeing, deaf to hearing, Jesus paid the price so we can have the newness of life. It's that voice that doesn't just get us out of a jam. It's the beginning of a lifelong transformation. It's the unveiling of the resurrection to a new identity. It's the access to walk in the Spirit while forsaking the flesh. It's the hope and confidence of eternal life with him. My friends, do you sound different than before you met him? Does your voice reflect that of God's? And when you speak, do people want to meet this Jesus you talk about? Now, for the next 21 verses, I am not going to read all of them because we got some baptisms to get to, and I do want to respect your time. But for the next 21 verses, we see that this man was brought before the religious leaders for questioning. It doesn't go very well. He explains what happened. The Pharisees are all upset, and they're bantering back and forth. Some disbelieve, while others are like, I don't know, maybe it did happen. Through the course of their questioning and shouting, the Pharisees are divided, and they now call the guy's parents in and ask them about what happened. Now, the parents get roped in. They're scared because they know that if they tell that Jesus healed their son, they're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. And back then, the synagogue was like your whole existence. You wanted to be in there, and if you got kicked out, you got nobody. So they passed the buck back to the son, and for lack of better words, it was a hot mess for everyone except the man who could see. So with all that said, and even in the midst of the confusion, the chaos, and the frustration, we now see that point three, Jesus is our constant in every conflict. That Jesus, in every circumstance, he is our constant in every situation. Now, this interaction is getting heated. Obviously, we understand from Scripture that the religious leaders were loathing Jesus and hated what he was doing. They denied his divinity. They ignored the miracles. They plotted and threatened anyone that would follow him. Now, ultimately, it was them who had Christ killed. But before you get mad at them, it was all of our sins that put him on that cross. Jesus died for them like he died for you. And he forgives all, including his enemies. As Jesus was the voice of God to the world, this group of Pharisees were the voice of Satan to the unsuspecting and ignorant crowds. It was this group of religious leaders that brought condemnation, incorrect interpretations of the law, spiritual manipulation, and abuse of power for their spiritual care. Spiritual gain for those in their care, excuse me. Now, they weren't always like that. They started off with the right intentions, but even for the most devout, we must always be on guard that our pride does not dominate God's voice in our hearts. And not all Pharisees were like this, but keeping in step with Scripture, the majority shared in these sins and earned the title brood of vipers given out to them earlier by John the Baptist. Now in verses 24 through 29, again, they ask the man, what happens? The man responds with the same story, but now this time he calls him out. He says, weren't you listening? Didn't you hear the story the first time? Now, as the Pharisees are at their breaking point, they begin to unravel. Their intimidation isn't working. They're losing their influence over the crowds. So what do? They make more noise. They get louder. They speak confusion and hurl insults and false accusations at the man and Jesus. They twist the truth and continue to deny that Jesus is their Savior. We know that the louder our opponent gets, that's a sign that says they are losing. As Satan's days draw to an end, he is getting louder and more vicious each and every day. The lies, the confusion, the undoing of society, that's a wake-up call to know we're at war and it's spiritual. We are in a battle daily and God has equipped us to fight and have victory if we choose it. This is not the time for the church to get comfortable. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." As the days get more evil, you make yourself and those around you vulnerable for the kill if you're not in complete surrender to God's plan and actively listening to his voice. The devil knows how to get you off track. Don't make his job any easier than it has to be. Let us all flee from sin and run to the Father. Now, I love this part in verse 29. The Pharisees responded with, "You know, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as far as this man Jesus, we don't know where he comes from." Verse 30, the man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You don't know where he comes from, and you opened my eyes?" And the man says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it seen anyone's eyes open from a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you teach us?" And guess what they did? They cast him out. The former blind man answered them with heavenly authority, "No longer a beggar, but now a bold witness to the power of the living God. No formal training, just having heard the voice of God. He breaks down the walls of man's religion and drops a truth bomb that shatters their feeble standing in front of the witnessing crowd. He prophesies to these men and for all who are listening. He spoke truth with confidence, with power and joy, regardless of what it might cost him. Like the redeemed man, your life is a testament to the love and power of God. In time of peace or conflict, let your light shine and let your voice be the vessel that God uses to proclaim truth and bring someone else to the kingdom. We will set the captives free by being a messenger of the absolute truth to the world." Amen? And I love now in verse 35, the great conversation. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is me speaking." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came to the world, and for those who may not see, they will become blind." Jesus wasn't done with the man yet. He's healed him physically, and now he invites this man to have his greatest healing, salvation. The lowest of the low, standing in front of the King of the universe. Jesus spoke first, and then gave the man a chance to respond. This beautiful exchange is recorded for us. It's a simple conversation, but even the simplest conversations with God will bring him joy. He is a good father who loves his children, and like any parent, when your kids look for you, doesn't that make your heart burst with joy and gratitude? Church, I think we need to make our conversations with God a higher priority in our lives, and that's for me too. Throughout the gospel, Jesus invited many to be his disciples. Some said no and went their own way. Here we rejoice with the blind man who is now a child of the Most High. Romans 8:17 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Although an outcast to the Jews and having nothing by man's standards, he is now healed, redeemed, and forgiven, which by heaven's economy means he now has everything." My friends, it won't be easy, but it'll always be worth it to follow Jesus. It might not make sense, but we know his ways are better. In closing, we know that it's noisy out there. We are inundated with so many voices and influences. It's a challenge to stay on course with how fast-paced our lives are. Remember what the psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." When life gets hectic and life gets noisy, he says, "Be still, and in the quiet, you will hear me. You will know I am with you." And regardless of how it's going, if we know that God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nothing, nobody, no power of hell can overcome those who have surrendered their life to Jesus. So that's why you guys are more than conquerors through Christ, because it is him that fights your battles. Who fights your battles for you? It's him. Remember that. It's him who fights your battles. Church, make room and be intentional to let God in so he can do what he wants to do. He wants to hear from you. If God spoke all creation into existence by one word, he made light appear in all that we see, he can certainly change your life and reveal his love and glory like you've never seen. God has more in store for all of us. Now, if it's been a while, remember John 14:26 records for us that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind us of everything he said, so don't be troubled or afraid. Let's get back to talking with him and knowing his word. My friends, guard your hearts and be vigilant of the enemy's schemes. You have a God that loves you beyond measure, but you also have an enemy that has a voice that will do anything to trick you into believing he doesn't. Do you know the voice of your Heavenly Father? You'll know it by the devotion to the Scriptures. As we study the Word, the Holy Spirit illuminates what God is saying to us. As we rely on the Word, we learn his character. The more we let God heal and renew us, we can recognize his voice and have his word flow through us. Regardless of what others say, we all know the truth, and we will stand on the promise that God made to us. You'll hear it in your spirit, so seek him in prayer daily. Like that day on the beach, I needed to hear God, and I put all my distractions away, and I didn't leave until I heard from God. Ask God for discernment, and ask him and tell him you're serious in your walk, because he will give you the tools and weapons to know how to move forward. Please don't stop pursuing him. When we stop listening, we stop growing. And if we don't let him guide us, something else will. My friends, the question isn't, is God still speaking? It's, am I listening? Am I letting unconfessed sin in my life interrupt my relationship with him? Is stuff getting in the way? And have I allowed doubt and criticism to silence God and rob me of my blessing? I know a lot of people expect the voice of God to sound something like a movie. Field of Dreams comes to mind. A random whisper in a field, and that's got to be it. No. As the story of Jesus schooling the Pharisees continue in chapter 10, we see Jesus proclaim a truth that I hope and pray you hold on to tonight so hard and so well in your minds and every day. As Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and calls out their evil ways, he tells them that in spite of their best efforts to steal and destroy the flock, that the sheep always know their shepherd's voice. When confusion, doubt, your past, or anything contrary to the word of God is brought before you, you stand back and shout, "My God said, it is written, that it is finished." And your voice has no power, authority, or influence over my heart and my mind any longer. Church, let's let the Lord's voice be the loudest voice in our existence. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Who's ready to pray now? Let's pray and thank God for this word. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in your presence in the magnificent beauty that you've created. God, I thank you for this word. Father, I pray that the power of the words that you've given us, God, reign true in our hearts and our minds. God, let us leave here today with a passion, with a desire, God, not to hear what the world says, but to hear what you say. Because it's your truth, God, that we need, that we want, that has set us free. Lord, let our lives be a living example of your words in our heart and mind. Father God, I thank you for the people on this beach. I thank you for the people who will hear this recording later. Father, may they know how valuable they are to you. May they know their love for you in ways that they've never seen before. And God, may you get the glory and praise in all that we do and say. In the name of Jesus, your children said, amen, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Just a couple of things I want to say here as we get ready for the baptism service. And those of you that we spoke with this week, we've talked to you, we've heard your testimony. You need to come now, if you could, to my left over here. Alex, if you could raise your hand. John, raise your hand over here. You want to meet up with these guys on the other side of the rocks. Don't hesitate. Come right now. If you're one of the folks that we qualified for baptism, please come so we can be ready to get in the water as quickly as we can. Michael said something that I want to follow up on real quick before Andrew leads us in another song. And Lori from Welland, if you don't mind, could you come, please? I need Lori over here for 1 second. Lori is going to hate me real soon, so if you could pray, I hope you will. But you know, God is still speaking, Michael said, but the question is, are we listening? And I want you to think about that for a minute. If I could just have your attention, think about the reality. God is still speaking. Are we listening? 7 years ago on this beach, God spoke to Michael Fiore and said, it's time to come home. There was a time in the story of the prodigal son when that son realized he was living apart from his father. And what he began to hear inside was a voice that said, it's time to go home. It was better in your father's house. What are you doing here? Eating pig slop. Get up and go home. And that prodigal stood up and turned around. That's called repentance. Deciding to listen to God and do what he's asking you to do is what repentance is all about. It isn't about walking on hot coals. It's about having a change of heart and mind that leads to a change of action. From not believing in Jesus to saying yes to what he's saying to you. Last week, I was blown away by a testimony I heard from a young woman who's about to be baptized today. And I wonder if she could just say for 60 seconds the story that she shared with me last week. Are you okay with that? She's nervous, but she looks willing. So, Lori, if you could, tell us how Jesus spoke to you last week. It's like prophetic that this was the subject of today's sermon. And I just wonder if you would tell the story you told me about the voice of Jesus.
I'm not much of a public speaker, but for a good 20 years of my life, I was in the deception of the New Age occult, and I basically worshiped everything but the Lord Jesus. I did full moon ceremonies, and back in August of 2021, I had been praying for a steady year to know the truth, and I was actually sitting meditating, and the Lord burst through, and all I heard was, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I didn't even know the Bible, and that's what I heard, and the Lord burst through that day. And I had books about crystals on my bookshelf, and occult, Buddhism, Hinduism, all of the things. And he just crumbled all of that in front of my eyes, and he showed me that he was the way, and that's how I come to know Jesus. And I'm looking forward to being baptized today, and hallelujah, praise Jesus.
Amen. That is so good. That is so good. You can join your family. Lori's mom, Charlene, will be baptized. Her daughter, Ava, also is going to be baptized. We have a gentleman named Shane, and at some point I'll have a little list of who's going to be baptized and where they're from. But before we get to that, I want to ask you a question. Jesus is speaking. Are you listening? And you know, it may seem odd that all this is happening the way it's happening today. I mean, it almost didn't happen because of the rain, but here we are. And God is wanting to move. We're in the room, so to speak. What is Jesus saying to your heart? Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You may have been looking to alcohol or drugs or sex or yoga or meditation or Buddhism or whatever. And there's a lot of different distractions in this world. Sometimes it's just materialism. Sometimes it's physical activity like going to the gym a lot or shopping. But Jesus is saying, you're looking in all the wrong places. What you've been looking for is me. Would you say yes to me today? And I believe if God's speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is saying, today's the day for salvation. And before we ever get to baptisms, which is a representation of the fact that these individuals, like Lori, have come to that decision to say yes to Jesus. They said yes to him. They said, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Christ is the one who died and was buried and rose again on our behalf. And so they're going to be dunked under the water symbolically saying, I believe in the one who died and was buried and rose again for me. But what about you? Where are you at today? And I want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads very quickly as we close this out. We don't want to miss the opportunity because there may be some here who understand today's the day to say yes to Jesus. And if you sense that in your heart, if you sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking any of that. The question is, will you stand up and turn around and come home to Jesus, the one who's been waiting for you, lovingly pursuing you, not tackling you, but following after you like a shepherd that goes after a lost sheep. Jesus has been there and his voice is calling you home. The question is, are you willing to say yes today to Jesus? And if that's you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just raise your hand for a minute. Raise your hand up. If you sense that Jesus is speaking to you today, that today's the day, don't be bashful. If today's the day to finally say yes, you know, you can't be a Christian by going to church. You can't be a Christian by reading a lot of Christian books. You become a Christian by saying yes to Jesus. Who's willing to say yes to him today? I'm going to take one more moment here for you to raise your hand if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Not one hand raised, two hands raised. Thank you, God. Lord, we need you more than anything. We need you in our lives. And we thank you for what you've done in pursuing us, in giving life to us. You're our living hope because you died and were buried and rose again, taking away our sin. That's what we're putting our faith and trust in today, that you paid the price for our sin, that we can be cleansed and now have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what we want. God, thank you for this individual who said yes to you today. May we all say yes to you in whatever it is you're asking. Some of us are believers, but our hearts have grown cold. We've been pursuing our own agenda. Today's the day to say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all about what you have for me. Thank you that you're my living hope. I'm going to ask Andrew to sing just a portion of a song, and when we're ready here, we're going to do the baptisms. So join us in singing, and if you want prayer, if you want somebody to speak with you before you leave, just come on up, talk to one of the volunteers, especially over here on the other side of the rocks behind the tent. It's not a secret room. We don't do anything crazy over there. We're not going to sign you up for John the Baptist shower curtains or anything like that. It's just an opportunity to pray with somebody who's already a follower of Jesus. So let's get ready to celebrate what God is doing in our midst today. Lord, we are in the room. We want you to move.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation.